Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did only be a little man.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Fold out the palm of your moldy hand and straighten the mind. Stretch out the line. Follow the path to the sound of the river with the four trees fell by the side. On the left of your right, twists on limbs, pulling heels.
Oh, well. Okay, it was going to end anyway. Sorry, didn't mean it to be that abrupt. Give you a bell and stain in exchange. Scarborough Dude! Well, who else hosts the Dixon James podcast, episode number 780? Holy Christ, you're moving in the 800. It is Monday, day before St. Patrick's Day. I think it's Monday, yeah, the March 16th. I have one can of Irish beer in the fridge, and I haven't had a beer in at least 6 weeks. And I decided to save that one, and I might treat myself to a beer tomorrow. I have not had a craving. I have not had the least urge to have a beer. I've had two glasses of wine in, like, 2 months. That's the only alcohol I've consumed, which, for me, is amazing. And I'm pretty sure it's due to the medication, the Percocets I've been taking. They're just, I don't know, I feel good. I don't need anything. And I'll go into the fridge and I'll get, you know, fruit juice or water, a lot of water. Just not even wanting the taste of a beer, you know? And I'm kind of happy about that. I mean, hey, why not? I know I will when I finally get back to the only. Look forward to those free beers. The only thing I'm not looking forward to the only, they got a really wicked staircase going down to the washrooms in the basement. And it's narrow and it's steep. I'm not sure if there's a railing or not. And that would be fearsome for me, you know, at this point. Because the one thing I can't do well is go up and downstairs. And, like, I have two hands on my own railing. Sometimes I'll do it with one hand. Yeah, I can do it with one hand. And it's one step at a time. Like, your good foot up, and then you pull the other one up, the bad foot. You know, good foot up, bad one. And you can't do one, two, three, four, one, you know, like that. It's got to be one stop. One, stop, one. You get the picture, right? Like, it's very slow and very careful, and you've just got to be, wow, on guard. So this is the only thing. I can get around with a cane. I don't need a stroller. My wife is so delighted that, oh, my God, I'm not that old person that she sees at work, you know, stooped over, pushing a stroller, mumbling, drooling, and not remembering where they're going. I'm fine. I'm in amazingly good shape considering, and how fortunate I have been too. Now that we've got this coronavirus, they've talking about, you know, dentistry just only essential, you know, services cut back, and for surgeries cut back on those. So I may have been, my surgery wasn't due for another 2 weeks. And I got bumped up. I got February 10th for my knee replacement. And man, am I lucky. This is before all this shit happened. And so I've been in hospitals for, you know, for pretty well 2 weeks before this thing took off, this COVID-19. So I've been very, very lucky with timing. And I want to talk about timing a little bit. It's something that I think there's a certain amount of luck involved. I do believe you've got to trust your own intuitions. And this comes from timing, meaning when to make certain decisions and when to wait, you know, when to act, when to wait, when to choose. when to postpone. Well, same as wait, sorry. But it's a very important thing. And I learned, I'd have a hard time justifying this, but I would say I learned a fair amount about this during my time in Japan. It was a critical thing for our company, and I guess for Japanese companies in general, but ours in particular. The president of the company, who was I was close to, remember, I was a drinking sidekick with him. I was in on meetings with this guy. I brought people to him. I played a role in this company that eventually just, fell up, disintegrated. And by then I was already safely back in Canada and with the my company under my name. So I'm going to get into that too. We're talking about timing. And, you know, his motto was go slowly, quickly. And he loved that. And this was his mantra. And you had to think about it, okay, in Japanese terms, really what he meant and not in direct translation, but really meant act decisively at the right time, but be cautious about it. Like, wait till all the pieces are in place. And the one thing I noticed within our company, you never made a decision until you had the information you needed. And it wasn't just like one last piece. It was just the knowledge that other things will come into play. You know, you might be say, well, you got to make a decision today. And then it was, yeah, but tomorrow something else might kick in. So I'm going to give an example of that, that I'm really pleased about. Hang on, I'm going to put my leg up. I'm in the front seat. Oh, yes, I'm in the road track, by the way. Welcome back, Sal. Yeah. This is a good news day. Believe me, I'm telling you. I got Sal, and I'm in Bluffers Park. That's where we are. And I'm actually on the beach side. I've got my feet up, and I'm in Sal. I took Sal out to get some gas. It was 79.9 today, a liter, like the lowest it's been in a very long time. I've paid a lot more than that, believe me, on this trip out to BC, especially in BC. Incredible. And because of the glut on the market, the falling markets, the price of oil dropping and so on, the fight between Russia and Saudi Arabia, I don't know, whatever it is, the price just dropped down. Not good for Alberta, apparently, but for those of us here, when the price is like that, fill it up. And the road trek needed it. I took in about 85 liters. I would say maybe the last liter was on the ground under the road trek. Didn't quite shut it off in time. It clicked off, and sometimes I thought, maybe it's not really. Maybe there's still a lot of room. So I made the mistake of keeping filling. But anyway, that's fine. So we were talking about, timing. The timing, I was fortunate in just terms. And again, that was like putting my name in. There are so many variables, okay? When my leg really started to hurt, when that knee was swollen up, and I said, hey, I got to see the doctor now. And my doctor wasn't there, but there was an intern. That intern said, ooh, yeah, I can drain that for you, and took out the 40 cc's, which I already talked about, of liter. Oh, my God. No wonder it was hurting so much. All that fluid right on your knee. And said, I think I could refer you to a specialist about, that knee. And sure enough, went in, and next thing you know, I'm referred to a doctor through them. You qualify. We've done the x-rays. You qualify for a knee replacement. And then just bam. Okay, sure. Saw him and said, could you put my name down on the, if he says cancellations, just the sooner the better. All I was thinking about was I've got to be in shape to walk for July for when my girls from Japan come. More on that later. I've got to be ready by July. So March, end of March surgery, two people tell me at least 2 months to get, back to normal. Okay, April, May. Okay, yeah, and I got to be walking around and getting stuff ready. All right, should do it. Getting it early. Cancellation, can you come February 10th? You betcha I can be there. And sure enough, and then the coronavirus came in, and now suddenly, hospitals, we're going to need those spaces, essential surgeries, things will be postponed. There'll be a, anyway, so that's just fortune, and that's the dependency on other people when it comes to decision-making. It's not just yourself that has all this power when it comes to what are the factors, what are the variables, it was good that I said I got to see the doctor now. even though he wasn't there. So, now where were we? Oh, yes, back in Japan. Yeah, no, I did. All right. Well, I'll jump ahead. I've been, and it's tied. It's the same topic, and it all, everything is just a mishmash that all ties together anyway. It's just one big smudge of a life. I've been really disturbed by this coronavirus and what it's going to do to my tour. Okay, yeah, things could be. I mean, earlier on, even a week or two ago, well, maybe this thing could be over by the summer and my girls could come from Japan, 32 girls, in which case, hey, I've got to find homestays for 32 girls, reliable people, and I've got to get all that stuff and I got to start making those calls and I got to confirm those buses and put on deposits and lots of stuff. A good part of it already done. I'd already booked the Bark Lake. I'd already booked a number of things were in place, ready to go. And some deposits paid, which is another story. But, you know, each day's report thought, you know, this could go on. We're shut down for 2 months. Oh my God, that's going to back everything up. And who knows what it's going to be like after 2 months, you know, and especially given the uncertainty of the states, you know, our neighbor. And just today they're saying, okay, our border is closed to anybody except for Canadians, except for Americans. What? Well, you know, we have such close ties. And they really danced around the issue, but Americans are allowed across our border, and I don't think they should be. If you're closing it to everybody else, why this exception, you know? And they said, no, the business people, of course, can go back and forth, and our trade and so on. But for whatever reason, they danced around and said Americans are welcome. And yeah, great. Providing, of course, they have to go to 14 days volunteer isolation. Well, who's going to cross the border to come to Canada as a tourist and lock yourself in a hotel room for 14 days? You're not. Nobody's going to. It was infuriating. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here, as you can tell. And that's what happens on the Dixon James podcast. That is what it's all about. Right? Free flow, you know. Say what you want to say. And I'm trying to tell you a story about timing. And I just keep sort of getting slightly off track. But anyway, the timing. I'm getting bothered by this thing. Okay, how this is going to impact my tour, and when are they going to decide? And the school tells me, well, we're going to decide in our school year. We're closed now. All schools are shut down in Japan. We'll be open in April, maybe by April 20th. You know, the flights have already been reserved for the students coming over. And I'm working with the school and with a large Japanese travel company who I've partnered with for 25 years, more. We've got to decide, you know, okay, what are these cutoff dates and so on, if we're going ahead or not. And it's just eating at me every day. So last night, Sunday night, I've got to send a letter. I wrote a letter and I thought, okay, now don't send it now. And I reminded myself, it's about timing. Like this particular letter that I'm writing, I don't want to be the one to say to tell the school, I don't want to do the tour this summer. This is my only contract, my only business, and it means a lot to me and a lot of money, believe me. I don't want to be the one to pull the plug, but I want to find out what are the odds of them doing it, you know, could just give me a little more information. So I wrote the letter, very carefully worded, and said, I don't know who's making the decision or when they're making, but these are some other factors you might want to consider. My host families are old, and right now the elderly are being told, stay home, avoid people, anybody over 70, you're susceptible, more susceptible to this coronavirus, you're sort of in the death zone. And so the idea of contacting these people now to say, hey, could you take two more girls this year, please? The timing doesn't feel right. So I want to know, I want to get a better idea. If you're going to cancel, let me know now so I don't have to be thinking about this every day. But I just held on to that letter. Okay, you know, is it really the right time? And I guess sometime before bed, I go to my international clock. Okay, what time is it in Japan? Okay, it's morning now. send it to the head teacher's home address, because I know the schools are closed, and to the school in case she's had to go in for something or other. And I push send. I send it to them. Sure enough, not much later, I get an email back from the school. Thank you for the letter. It just happens I was in school. The travel company we're working with was also there. They told me they had heard from you because I sent them a letter 3 days previous dropping the same hints. You know, hey, are we going ahead or not? I'd like to know sooner rather than later. We got to book hotels in Quebec City. And she wrote back and said, we got your note. We thought about what you had to say. And I'm saying, you know, the parents of the Japanese girls are going to be awfully damn worried about who they're staying with. And they went into the principal of the school and they canceled the school. So you've heard it here first on the Dixon Zane podcast, a scoop. My summer tour is canceled. I am off. They said, we've already got the girls picked for 2021. Expecting me to do that. That's another story for another time. It's also all about timing and phrasing and when to send a message and what message to do and so on. But the timing of this letter that I sent them was just happened to be the morning that they were meeting together and went in and made a decision and pulled the plug on the program. Now that was good timing on my part. I didn't panic. I didn't rush. I didn't send it too soon. But I didn't send it too late, which is more to the point. And it came with just the right gravity, just the right timing. And now I am free. So if I want to go to Prince Edward Island in June before school gets out, I could do that. I'm free. I got a summer off. I'm open. I am open. I am free. I have no further obligations other than canceling what I've already put in place. And letting a lot of people know, sorry, you're not getting any girls this year, and sorry, we're going to have to put this off. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited about that, and I do feel a burden has been lifted and a worry has been taken off my shoulders, because I really, this is not the time to be asking Canadian families to host students in their house. When people are told, you know, hey, 8 weeks social isolation, you know, distance yourself. Okay, so, all right, moving on. Yeah, so anyway, today, knowing the price of gas was down and knowing my wife's car was out of the driveway, because we got a tight driveway, got the road track, her Mazda and my old Toyota, or her old Toyota. So she pulled out, went off to work. My son went off. He's got a new shift starting at 4:30 in the afternoon now, and he still doesn't get home till middle of the night. Out of the airport. And so he took that out and I said, you know, if I can bend down enough to take the electric cable out and unplug the car from the 110 that I've got attached to the garage and coil it up and put the electrical cable back in and bend down enough with my knee to lock this up and get this baby going, I'm going to fill it up with gas. And hey, if I'm going to fill it up with gas, I'm going to go to Bluffers Park. And if I'm going to Bluffers Park, I'm bringing my podcasting gear with me and starting off on the next Dixon Zane podcast, which is exactly what this baby is, number 780. So there you go. That's an 18-minute rant. That's a good enough one. I don't know. Did I cover what I wanted to cover? There's a whole lot more. There's just so much going on with this. Shut down. Holy fuck. Bars and restaurants close at 9 o'clock New York City. Takeout only, you know. Jesus Christ, this is for real. And the purpose, the whole purpose is to save lives, you know. Man, we've got an epidemic here, a pandemic worldwide. People are going to die if this thing spreads. If you don't isolate yourself, wash your hands, stay away, 3 feet away from people. Even when they're doing interviews, they're using like a big long boom mic, you know. Oh, Jesus.
Good with and despite the
All right, we're gonna fade that out as you can hear. Oh, let's see, what have we got here? We're gonna ring the bell. Yeah, this is, of course, I haven't played them for so long. Remember how I was just crazed about Lovin' Rockets, and I still get a rush out of the fact that, hey, I discovered something. What was that, 6 months ago? That long? I don't know, that short. And was raving about it. That's all I was playing, all I was buying. And today, that's what I felt like hearing. So now I've got the mic set on high sensitivity. I'm going to put it on low, so this is going to be a bit of a change. Okay, hang on. There, cuts it right out. And what I'm doing instead is I'm going to share with you something quite special. My first beer in 6 weeks. So let's snap this sucker open. Yeah. There we go. It is a Murphy's stout. And I had it in the fridge, and today is St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day for anybody who wants to claim they're part Irish. Bowl is an Irish name, so I've definitely got Irish heritage, but I think we're the bad Irish or whatever. We're the orange men. I think that's where we're, you know, from the north. Anyway, I just poured it into my beautiful black Bark Lake mug. It seemed appropriate because I've got a, the one thing on my list today is to write to Bark Lake and try and insist they give me my deposit back because of the cancellation of the study tour this summer. So, cheers. Very nice. Very nice. First beer in 6 weeks. I've calculated that. It's roughly, but it's it might even be longer than that. Certainly before the surgery, February 10th. Gosh, speaking of which, I had a post. I put out a podcast and then had a link from somebody saying, hey, call me or, you know, email me. But no name or in any way I could track this person down. And then he said, it's Reggie, which only I would know was his middle name. And that was my buddy out in Vancouver who's going to have a kidney removed. But now because of this, you know, they've surgery schedules because of COVID-19 have been messed up at all hospitals. He's back onto a special emergency waiting list. It's cancerous. He's got to have it taken out, but they just don't know when. And he's the fellow who turned me on. I thanked him again today. We'd go to his place and sit around his water pipe in his basement and listen to Pink Floyd. And, oh, 10 Years After and Jethro Tull and all the music of those days. Just, you know, and enjoying it. And he was the master. He was in charge of the music. And you just went over and all you did was I'd bring out the block of hash. You'd get that water pipe cooking and pass it around, get high, and get off on the music. It was just a wonderful way to spend an evening, and it's something, you know, people don't do now, but in those times, I guess from I started hanging out with him when I just came back from Europe, so that would have been 72, but I'd known him prior to that. We went to the same high school, and he is part of that great Lachine migration that left Montreal in the early 70s, in the time of, you know, Quebec politics, talking about separation and so on, and a lot of the Anglos decided, all right, I'm leaving. And off they headed, and most of my friends went to Vancouver and stayed there. I've told you that story, but of course, some of you may or may not remember. You got to piece lives together. That's why I don't feel bad anymore about repeating myself, because some people, oh yeah, I think he said something about that. And I know from when I watch a movie now, and I can't, you know, I know something's going to happen in this scene, but I can't remember what it was. And I expect that's the same. People who listen to the Dixon James podcast have little bits and pieces of Ken's life story they've heard before. Prince George. There's something about Prince George. Yeah! But anyway, today I decided we're going to do something fun. I had this beer and I was going to have it tonight, and I thought, well, that's just so routine. And I was in a sort of a four-way email with Barnacle Bill, Cousin Zeke, the Barstool Buddha, yeah, and, you know, Brent and Deb out on the West Coast. And we were exchanging a bunch of emails. And it came up, and I thought, well, heck. It just kind of put me in the mood, remembering my old friends. And we were, of course, the conversation was beer. And I thought, all right. Time to just go get into the road track. It's a nice day. And there's another reason for it, too. But hang on while I have another sip. Oh, it really is good. You cannot go wrong with a Murphy's Stout. It's only 4.1% alcohol, which is fine by me because I've just taken two Percocets. And the reason I took the pills was because I was on my way to physiotherapy this afternoon, which is where I should be right now, but I'm not. And that is because they called this morning to make sure, have you had the flu? Do you have a cough? Have you been with anybody who's traveled in the past 14 days? And no. All right, see you this afternoon. And then this afternoon came, and 30 minutes before the start of class, they called up to say, Ken, sorry to tell you, but we are no longer having the physiotherapy sessions at the hospital because of COVID-19. And I understand completely, of course, and in support of this. And I even wondered why we were able to do it up until Tuesday. Today being, well, no, up until last Thursday. And it was just decided this afternoon I guess in keeping with what the Premier of Ontario said, the state of emergency we are now in here in Ontario because of COVID-19. And, yeah, so classes canceled. Now, I'm very disappointed because I found that did so much to help get my leg working, get the knee working, get it flexible. And it's because you go through these rounds on this machinery designed to. And they'll each time they'll stress, okay, you're going to do 30 of these, and they'll add on a little extra weight or something else. And each of the activities really served a purpose, but was usually centered on machinery, whether it was a bike or these things where you just press with your feet back and forth and you know, against counterweights and so on. And it all worked really well, and I feel really bad that they've brought it to an end, but I understand. And there's no point, you know, in 4 weeks from now, if this ban is over, you know, I should have recovered by then anyway. It's, you know, that's not my time. So the problem for me is I just don't get as much out of the home exercises, and I maybe I don't discipline myself as much, and I'm going to have to find some way of at least partially making up for what I'm missing through these classes. But that was the other turning point. So, well, just go and have the beer now. Instead, I've got a lot of stuff to do. The tour was canceled yesterday, as I mentioned, and so I've got letters to write, and in particular, a refund that I really want back from this company. And I've got to phrase it just right. I'm very good at, it's part of the job that I've always enjoyed, the power of words and how it's phrased. And I will read and read again. And I was so fortunate that I was born into the English language, because I don't think I would be a very good student of, I know I'm not a good student of languages, but the amount of power you can have when you use things properly. And that goes right down to prepositions. I mean, that's at all levels. And I tried to teach that to my students. Like, look, I'm sorry, but this is power. You want to get ahead in Canada. You want to, you know, unless you're an entrepreneur and can do everything on your own, really, if you want managerial positions and so on, you've got to have some control of English. And the more you have, the better. But I notice from what I see, I guess that's maybe old advice and it's gone by the wayside, because people just don't seem to care. And especially in these days of no more letter writing, everything on emails and shortcuts, and nobody seems to care. And yet, wow, when somebody makes a mistake, I'm really aware of it. And I will, as I rewrite and revise, think, oh, no, just change that word order, change this from passive to active or vice versa. And just the difference it makes. So I am going to be very carefully composing a letter today or tomorrow explaining why they really need to give me the refund. They're suggesting that we'll just apply it against your the next time you come. And so I've got to, you know, sort of suggest there may not be a next time. I'm wondering, so I'm thinking about in terms of the content of the letter, what do I put in there? Do I use, look, I'm going to be 73 the next time I come, if you can, and I don't know if I'm going to be up to doing this program when I'm 73, and is that really fair? Basically, I want to shame them into saying, and they could be hard-ass business about it. Most people wouldn't be at camp, you know, and I have such a good, close, personal relationship with most of the people, but somebody who's just in charge of booking and their whole job is to get money and hang on to it, we'll have a different take altogether. So I've got to, that's the other factor. I've got to make sure the copy of the letter goes not just to the person who actually makes the decision, but to the others, my supporters and friends who have always treated me so well for being a client of more than 20 years. So anyway, that's a job to do. And it's for me, that's fun. Like, because it's a game, right? And a lot of the business that I've done to keep a business going since 1993, this may be the end of it right now. I mean, I've had, and I'm sort of thinking, yeah, three times, three strikes. I've had, you know, H1N1 or swine flu, bird flu, whatever it was, SARS, and now COVID-19. All right, that's the end. I could probably technically prove to the government that I was put out of business because of this, and I've lost income. I don't know if I'm going to go that route. I think I would qualify the way other people qualify. And the government is saying we're going to do whatever we can to help people. And, hey, I just have to show you the papers and the income taxes I filed through this company each year. And here we are. There's only 3 years I haven't had money. And that was 2003, 2009, and now 2020, the years we've had a virus going around. Anyway, that wasn't what I was going to talk about. I want to talk about again the interconnectedness of all of us, and it's when you see on TV and they're giving another update, government announcement, and it's not just for the premier or the prime minister or Trump himself, but for a lot of the local city health nurse or somebody in an administrative position within your city government, municipal government, or provincial, how dedicated these people are and what a good job they do. And I'm amazed. I talk about this all the time. It's like when you get on an airplane and you look up and go, okay, how many rivets holding this thing together? But, you know, that shelf up there, who designed it and who made the snaps and the million pieces that go into an airplane that takes off and lands, you know, halfway around the world. This is just incredible. And it's the organization of mankind. It's everybody, you know, doing their part from the pilot training, the machines they train the pilots on, the people who fuel the plane, the baggage handlers, which my son was doing, every aspect of something that we just take for granted is totally dependent on people fitting into different jobs and positions and following a prescribed set of rules and conditions and ways of doing things that we've developed. It's this incredible complexity of our civilized world. And again, we just turn on the TV. What's on? Oh, shit, I've seen that. No, that's a bunch of crap. Flick, you know, the remote control. It's like nothing. This is my world. This is the norm. But, wow, when did that happen? I mean, just wind that clock back not too far. And, God damn, we've come a long way. And it goes to, I mean, what I'm saluting now is the fact that we've got this disease and we have a system of government in this part of the world. And I'm not talking about Somalia and other places that are dysfunctional right now because of civil wars and tribal hatreds and so on and religious persecution and all the other things going on in other parts of the world. And how absolutely blessed we are in Canada to be as advanced as we are, but to have a civil service, a system of government that, hang on, I gotta see if the cat wants in. Cat, Yuki, do you wanna come in? Meow. Come on, Yuki. She's on the neighbor's lawn. I'm parked, of course, right beside it. Yep, here she comes. Isn't that nice? My cat's joining me for St. Pat's Day beer. Yeah. Meow. Meow. It's wonderful that she'll come in here with me. What we just assume to be normal and don't think about in our daily lives. And so again, I'm saluting the people who are doing these jobs and doing them as well as they are. And at a time like this, when people have to make decisions fast, like the hospital, when they called today, first of all, to check to make sure I was healthy enough to come in and then to call back later and say, okay, we've had a meeting. We've made this other decision. And now somebody else is going to be on the phone calling all those people and everything done in a civilized manner. And I've seen chaos. Believe me, I've lived in Nigeria where you don't have people following proper rules or much time for etiquette. And, you know, it's just every man for himself. And we have this incredible system. So that was one of the points I wanted to get out. I'm sorry I've dragged it out a little bit and spoiled all the fun. The other part was, there was another part to that. I think I'm just distracted now because the cat's here and wants to get up on my lap and we want to just play together. So I'm going to end this now. I've almost gone on for 20 minutes anyway, all right? So it's okay, Yuki. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to, yeah. You're just going to leave me and my beer and my cat and my love and rockets. And I just want to share with you that I'm kind of a happy camper right now and glad to be well enough to know that before too long I'm going to be able to get in this baby and go off somewhere. Although I just saw, it was amazing, all the campgrounds in Florida closed, daytime use only. Like, Florida is, everybody flocks to Florida and their RVs and trailers to camp for the winter. And here they are. Nope, sorry. Well, that's ruled out. No more gatherings of this sort. So again, the fact that it's done by people in responsible positions holding on to jobs, the fact that we have a system where as we age, somebody retires, somebody else is trained, somebody else comes in, somebody runs for the job of being a politician or, you know, wants to be the head nurse for the city, and that responsible people take on these positions. It's amazing what we can do. Okay, and finally, the point I really want to make, the key to all of this, and I think I'm going to have to revisit it another time, is the possibilities that this actual infection, this time we're going through now, this enforced isolation, well, not enforced, self-enforced isolation, social distancing, all the bars closed and restaurants, like, hey, takeout only, like, wow, that this is going to be done without the military imposing it, without guns, without people being threatened, although, yeah, there will be fines, I think, if they have to get to that point. They probably won't. My son just called to say he's isolating himself for the 14 days now and doing what's the right thing to do. As are so many others who are just sort of following the rules the way they should be, which ties in with what I was talking about earlier. But the fact that maybe this will really be a wake-up call for people that, hey, this is the reality of life. This is a little thing, a virus, that if we let go unchecked, would kill millions, would just kill us. This is an alien invasion. Wake up, folks. We don't need people coming from outer space to tell us, hey, this is science, this is life, this is biology, this is the nature of reality, folks. This is it right here. So never mind all that religion, never mind the witch doctors, never mind the pray to God. Study science. Have an education system in your country that raises people to follow the scientific method and get a university education. Train doctors, train physicians, train researchers, do all of this stuff and together, and let's have an awakening about real life and how, you know, we can get along if we cooperate and work together and all these things that are just so amazing. So that's not an inspired talk, but it is a point I would like you to ponder. But meanwhile, I gotta just take a picture of my cat instead. It's so much more interesting. Scarborough Dude, signing out from the car, or from the van, on St. Patrick's Day. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven.
telling hopes and fears to one another. And oh, what a feeling inside of me. It might last for an hour. Wounds aren't healing inside of me.
That's enough. There is no bell, but you do get the chicken.
Yeah,
it makes me happy. Such a simple thing. It is Thursday, I believe, March the 19th. I'm in, I think it's called Rosa McLean Park. It's a park with a huge, like, rose garden and flowers, and it's just on top of the bluffs, you know, overlooking Lake Ontario, but further west than where I normally am. Like, it's, you know, down the road a good ways from Bluffers Park. And Bluffers Park takes you right down to the water's edge. Here you're up on top of the cliff, the bluffs themselves, looking over Lake Ontario. It's a bit stark now, no flowers. It's a gray day. It's cold. It feels a little wintry, a little chilly. But I just decided to give myself a little test with my new knee. So I'm not using the the walkers. I've got my cane, and I did do a fair sized loop around the park. But I could feel already my leg is tired, and I'm not sure really what's going on. And I haven't done. I mean, that's probably the longest I've walked since the surgery. And it wasn't very long, but it was a start. And that's all I intended to do today, as well as pull over and maybe podcast for a little bit. Yeah, so this morning I put up a new video. If you're subscribed to the Scarborough Dude on YouTube, I don't know, I can never remember whether it's under Scarborough Dude or Dixon Jane's. Probably Scarborough Dude. On YouTube, you'll see I did a new video on treasures, and this, of course, I can't make my way down to the basement. It's quite treacherous. I did it yesterday to get a bottle of wine. That was not smart, and my wife was not impressed. I only had two little glasses, but still, she was saying, "Hey, you're taking medicine. You shouldn't be having any." But she made spaghetti and a mushroom and meat sauce, and the sauce was so good. I can't eat spaghetti without red wine. I just need a glass of red wine. So down I went, and coming up, it was like, wow, hanging onto a bottle and sort of almost crawling up the stairs. It's very dangerous. So anyway, I decided I would make a new YouTube video in my dining room area. Now, I was holding the camera, and instead of holding it lengthwise, I held it vertically. And I knew at the time, this is too easy. And, gee, why is there just my head? But, hey, part of this thing is loosey-goosey. Yeah, I was going to try and make them really good to get a whole lot of new listeners, and I'm happy. I get about 30 people watching each episode, and that to me is plenty. So anyway, one was out on something I call the Hitori Day, and you'll have to watch the video to know what that's about. But it warmed my heart doing it, and it is something that was quite special to me, and I'm glad I did it in that one take. It's not something I would ever have any energy or enthusiasm to redo holding the camera in the right way. Wouldn't have made any difference, but I'll try and remember for next time. So, the errand for today was do the exercises, which I did, have another shower, which I did, have a little snooze time with my cat, which I did, while listening to podcasts. And if it's a podcast I want to, like Adam Transpondency put one out the other day, and I if I doze off in his, I will go back and re-listen, because he had a lot to say. It was a very interesting one. I sent links to a couple of my new podcaster friends, Paul Anthony, or Anthony Paul, and Timmy of the Hooting Owl, Late Night Owl, Midnight Owl podcast, said, hey, you really got to check this guy out, because it's pretty neat. Adam, this as Professor Bestestes and Dr. Lickalotopus, from the very earliest days of podcasting, were guys I remember listening to. They go, well, I don't know if I like this or not. And then very quickly, yeah, wow, these guys are raw, and they're charting new territory in this, you know, this new whole thing of podcasting. So, and it was pretty neat after a big falling out between them that they would reconnect. And it's still quite edgy. There's a tension between the two personalities and the two people, but it makes for interesting listening. So I recommend that. It's what is it called? I guess Transpondency. If you Google that, and if you can't find it, contact me and I'll tell you. I'll send you a link. And otherwise, it may be under Adam Greatrix. There may be a connection there. I don't know. So, so I've been listening, and so today is the day, and now I'm back in my car, parked here in the parking lot, still looking in the direction of the lake, but realized, oh my God, I've enjoyed this downtime, this, you know, what I've been calling my recovery time since the surgery. It's been so lazy and so enjoyable, and now with the added relief of not having to worry about the tour this summer, of just now I've just got to send a bunch of emails out to cancel things. It's just good. It's comforting. And I guess like the idea that I'm going to go home, I can have a nice cup of tea and I'll put on the TV. And now I got this bunch of new channels for whatever reason. You get 14 channels when you sign up for whatever plan I have with Rogers. And there was no indication at all that I could change any of those. Some of the ones I would have to buy, like Turner Classic Movies, and I pay $6, $7 a month for that. But it's usually worth it. I've got Netflix. But I found out there's a bunch of other channels that you don't need. You know, you can dump your religious or an extra sports channel and pick up these other ones. And there, some of them were quite interesting. So that's just with various Rogers packages. But there's another one, Classic Time Movies or something like that. And there's all kinds of neat stuff that just appear. So anyway, my point being, I'm just comfortable sitting at home, sitting there, letting the cat in and out. I mean, it must have been a dozen times this morning, starting at 5. And just pleasurable. It feels good. I feel comfortable. So that doesn't make for interesting listening, does it? The other thing I want to talk about is, again, how wonderful it is. The job is that all our leaders have been doing. Now, I know I mentioned that at length. I was going to get into the multiculturalism. I don't know why there was an opening towards that. I guess because I felt so good in the hospitals, knowing that every nurse had a different background and they were all nice. Oh, I know how it worked, because I was thinking back to Nigeria. I guess, yeah, why is it that we have it so good here in this time of, like, worldwide panic over this pandemic, this virus that's going to make people very sick And my God, Trump calling in maybe hospital ships to be docked in, who knows, California and New York for extra bedding for the onslaught of sick people. Well, this is the stuff of like science fiction movies. And yet somehow they're holding it together, although Trump insists on calling it the China virus or the Chinese virus. And it's really, wow, it's pointed and mean and nasty. And I think what I was trying to celebrate here was, I think because I've lived overseas and I've traveled, that I am comfortable, very comfortable in this multicultural world we live in. That my kids have grown up. Well, the fact that I've, you know, I have a wife from a different country. It's home to me. It's comfort to me. It's encouraging for me, and it's the future, and it gives me great hope. And I think back to Nigeria, which was based on tribal lines. I mean, these were, you know, you can blame the Europeans for dividing them along the wrong way, but they were always going to be at war anyway, and it's the same with the Aboriginal people here. Don't tell me everybody lived together in joy and prosperity before the Europeans came. They didn't. They were at war. They enslaved each other. They killed each other. They tortured each other. There were some peaceful ones and some who just were warriors. You know, it's just, don't give me this perfect world before the white people, the entitled people, the settlers, which is the new derogatory term now, came in and fucked it all up for everybody. What is it that makes our thing work? Well, we've accommodated all these people. So when you look at the people representing our country, representing our cities, our province, of the different ethnic backgrounds, the different, just the variety of people based on just competence and wanting to do a good job, and you have faith in them, and it's not about color. It's seen for the TV anchors and news people. You look at them, and you're seeing people of different color, different backgrounds, different religions, different races, and it's a great thing. And again, I go back to Nigeria to that time, and it was so tribal. Like where I lived was one group of people, a very small tribe who had been, you know, pushed away, I guess, over time. But right up against them were a very large Muslim population in Ouchi, the main city. And there was a little war that went on there over land, but there was a war and there were people and juju and fires lit and so on. And there was a great big show, I've mentioned that before, of all the Muslims deciding they're going to pray on the main road right in front of the compound that housed the Christian missionaries who were running the school and the only church and the only, more importantly, the only hospital, which was doing a marvelous job. And they just as a sign say, we're here and we're strong and we outnumbered you by far. That wasn't nice. And in the hospital, then people were sort of saying, you really hope if you're in the hospital, never mind the Christian missionaries, because it's other people doing it, that it's going to be somebody from your tribe or somebody at least who's not an enemy of your people who are going to be helping you, because those are the people you can count on. So there was still, I guess what I'm getting at, there was still a tribal mentality. And it's not that I'm blaming anybody. Of course you're going to be that way. It's we haven't come that far. I mean, look at the number of different churches we have and the fights between the Protestants and the Catholics. It's a matter of time. And we are lucky that we appear to be at a point now where we can get along and respect each other and value each other just for who we are and the job we're doing, as opposed to what's your religion, what's your background? Who were your ancestors? And in so much of the world, it just isn't that way at all. It's what tribe do you belong to? What is your group? And are we on the same side or are we enemies? And this is, God damn. And our way is the right way, is the way of the future. I guess that's the point I'm getting. And I don't want anybody to fucking argue with that. And this isn't, we're not talking white supremacy here. Quite the opposite, you fucking assholes, if you misunderstand this. Sorry. I just, you know, there's always that voice. There's always somebody out there who's going to find something I've said that's wrong. There are so many fucking either goddamn fucking politically correct people or people who just love to toss around that, those terms that blame, let's say, Europeans for everything. Fuck you. Fuck you. Speaking of Europeans, God damn, you got to feel sorry for the Italians right now and what they've gone through this COVID-19 and the number who are dying. Like, I think the number of deaths has surpassed China or something, maybe the number of cases, some ridiculous number that just we're not prepared. And, you know, we're right now, we're okay. The whole point, and that's the title of this podcast, is going to be flattening the curve. All we're trying to do is do not let this spread bump itself up by all kinds of people congregating together and everybody getting sick at once. Let's spread it out. Let's spread it out by keeping our distance. So I found when I walked through this park today, going full circle, literally, I avoided, you know, people. I sort of sat, got off the walk, out of the way, or turned around. I wasn't even facing anybody. I didn't greet anybody. I could have. It's no big deal. And I saw some people, you know, in small groups of three or so, family probably. But I just didn't want to mix with anybody. And even when I went to see my accountant, I didn't see my accountant. I just dropped the papers through a slot in the door. So I guess that's it. Did I make my point? I hope I made my point, and I hope my point was clear. And it is just, it's gratitude to live in a civilized world in a country like Canada, where we are really working together to do things right and to help each other and to just be respectful. And a lot of this just comes from starting with our British heritage. I watched on one of these new channels, a documentary channel, there was a whole show on Laurier, the first French-Canadian Prime Minister of Canada. And it was very interesting, and including information about Henri Bourassa, the name of a big subway station in Montreal, metro station, that I didn't know much about, how he hated Laurier until Laurier died and then had nothing but praise for him. But very, very interesting bit of Canadian history and about how important it was. If it wasn't for him, we might not have the Canada we have today in terms of the French and the English getting along, and the fact that we almost seem to alternate between French Canadian and English speaking. And we have done a marvelous job. When you think of two countries that were at war, I'm talking the French and the English here. We're not talking about the native people who were here first and we came and took their land. Not talking about that. Talking about the conquerors, the Europeans who came over and took the land for the trade and settled, and some, like the French, intermarried and stayed and came over. And then the British said, hey, you're not getting all that wealth. You're not getting all of North America. I think we'll take our share. And went to war. And, of course, in 1759, up on the Plains of Abraham, they had their final battle, and the English won, and that was it. And they were just wise enough to let the French keep their language, keep their culture, keep their religion, keep their laws. And let's see if we can live together as two nations. And we have, roughly. The other documentary I saw, of course, was the Pierre Laporte kidnapping and the whole crisis when Trudeau's father was in power, the FLQ. And that whole business. So our Canadian history is pretty damn interesting. I'm just going to end right here. I'm a proud fucking Canadian. Proud to be Canadian. And it's my, you know, people say, well, you can't be proud. You're just born into it. What the fuck did you do? I've obeyed the rules. I've been a decent man. I am a good man. I am. And I understand it. And I get it. And I'm trying to preach that message. And my father was a good man, an honest man, a hardworking man who worked in French, in Montreal, in Quebec, in Sorel, who had a very important role to play during World War II. And I'm proud of him. And his father was manager for Montreal Light, Heat, and Power way back then and died of leukemia because he probably got too close to the turbines and everything else that was generating the power. And the stories go, I mean, he was a very good, kind man. I never knew him, died before I was born. But was also a good man. So we have this long line of early settlers, Bowles and Thrashers, who came and settled in Pembroke and, you know, built barns and cleared the land and farmed and did a good job. So there's a little bit of my heritage. I don't know what this is. I guess I'm on the defensive. This is why I'm really on the defensive, because I'm hearing the voice and of criticism of somebody pointing a finger and sort of saying, you're guilty. You're wrong. You should feel bad. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you. I'm part of the Canadian fabric and part of it. Proud of it. God damn, that was hard. Sorry, I didn't mean to go all there, but, you know, sometimes other people's voices throw you off a little bit. You know, other people's corrections, other people's wanting you to think a certain way, and you get defensive, as I just have. So calm down. Calm down. Get the chicken. Get the chicken. Go get the chicken. You'll feel better. The chicken's not judging you. The chicken's not judging you. He's just being a chicken. He's just doing what chickens do. Quacking. 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 Oh, okay. We're all better now. Thank you. Scarborough Dude. Signing off. Bye for now.